This is sort of a sad time and a happy time. We're approaching Resurrection Sunday, which is always great excitement and fun, but it is the last of our Lenten services on Wednesday night. And I know I'm speaking for the other pastors. We have enjoyed so much doing these joint services, and we'll miss this on Wednesday night. But hang in there, because we've decided we're going to do a Thanksgiving joint service. So we got a couple months to get it ready. To those of us who have spent a lot of time in Sunday school and worship services, we're very familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. It's the parable that when we preachers don't have a topic for Sunday, we reach for the parable of the prodigal son. We can always do a sermon on that. The theme of this parable is God's attitude toward the lost. And the main lesson he wants us to learn from it is God not only accepts penitent sinners, he earnestly seeks their salvation. Its sentiment, its scope, its message of a son's rebellion, a wasted life, and a father's love has been the source of inspiration for many lessons and sermons throughout the ages. Usually, since Jesus first told this parable, the focus is always on the younger son. But it really is the story of two sons. Right from the beginning, Jesus begins the story with, "There was a man who had two sons." Then Jesus goes on to divide the story into two parts. The first part telling the story of the runaway, the younger son, and then telling us about the older son's refusal to celebrate his brother's homecoming. I think, hope, we can all identify with both the sons in this parable. One prodigal and the other one proud. So let's look at these two sons. We'll look at the prodigal first. I'll bet there is someone here tonight that is distant from the Lord for one reason or another. Someone who has run off, maybe, with your inheritance. Someone who has hit rock bottom financially, from alcohol, from drugs. You've tried everything to rise up from the pig pen, but to no avail. How many times have we heard people say, "I just keep trying and something keeps knocking me back"? Then you are the prodigal. You want to change things. You long for home. And you believe in mercy when you're the prodigal. You pray for mercy. One of the words that I have already used a couple of times, and I think it's an important word to this story, so I want to take just a minute and talk about it, and the most important is the word home. Many, this very hour that we are here, are thinking about home. Maybe some in prisons, some in the military, far away, some in hospitals, some in nursing homes. And the reason this parable was taught, because some were not glad to see some other sinners come home. We need to have the same type of attitude towards the lost as our God does. Just as God longs for and looks for and searches for and puts forth every effort for the lost, so must we. And just like the father in the story, Jesus wants you to know that he is willing to humiliate himself to receive you back. He will embrace you, dirty, shoeless, with nothing to your name. He will take you and love you and hold you just as you are. There is nothing, nothing that you have done or I have done that is so evil and so horrible that he will not open his arms to you and forgive you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for me. There's an old saying, you can't go home again, but you really can. You can go home again to God. He has a celebration planned for us that reaches all the way into heaven. So come home. So now let's look at the older son for a minute. I think he's probably here among us also tonight. Don't forget that Jesus told this parable to the good and pious religious leaders. There's that word again. We've been discussing pious in one of my Bible studies at my church. But Jesus told this parable to the good and pious religious leaders of his day. And if we back up just a few verses to Luke chapter 15, 1 through 3, Luke describes it this way. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. So this story is also for the good and the upright among us. Those who have stayed close to the Father, working hard for Him, staying home. There may be some here whose relationship with Jesus has been more a matter of obligation than grateful love. If you've been a member of the church family for so long that you've sort of forgotten the sheer wonder of God's forgiveness. If all of the hard work that you have done for the kingdom has left you proud in your faith, or resentful, unable to celebrate with the angels when a sinner repents and comes home, then you are the older son. Within each one of us lives the younger and the older son. A Pharisee or a scribe telling us that we have won God's favor by our consistent goodness. Oh, we keep the Ten Commandments. We're very careful about that. Maybe a few infractions here and there, but we make up for that with some extra kindness and some extra goodness and some being extra nice to somebody. So it's okay. And let's admit it. It galls us. Galls us when we see some gross sinner getting in on God's good favor. Someone who doesn't look like us, who doesn't think like us, who doesn't drive cars like us, or live where we do. We raise our eyebrow in judgment when somebody we know has their name in the paper for a sin that has been made public. I thought that person was a Christian. We say in our proud, boastful selves, as if we can be saints, but never sinners. We need to take from this parable tonight the joy of restitution. In verses 20 through 24 in tonight's gospel reading, Jesus tells us how the father saw his youngest son coming from a distance, and he ran to meet him. He didn't sit in the house with his arms crossed, thinking, "Well, here comes that kid." I don't know what he's coming home for. He must want something. The only time I ever see these kids is when they want something. He was so excited to see his child. He ran to meet him. He didn't care about anything that had happened before. Our Father God will do the same for us. He will meet us halfway. In restitution, there is God's part, and that's grace. And our part is obedience and repentance. Our God, our Father, is a God of compassion. God continually looks for his children to come home. And when we do, the slate is wiped clean. We're not on probation. He places us right back where we were when we left. So what does the father tell the older son in verse 31 when the son is saying, "But Father, Daddy, I've been the one that stayed here. I've worked in the fields with you. I've done everything you've asked me to do. I've never given you any problem. I've never left home." And what does the father tell him? "Son, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours." All of us that are parents and have multiple children know you can love more than one child. You may love them a little bit differently. Each child is a little different. But you love them and you adore them and you would do anything for them. And that's what this father is telling the older son. "Son, I may not have said thank you, but I know you are the one that has been here. You are the one that has been by my side. I know sometimes it seems to us like everything is and all the attention is going to the one that acts out. The one that turns from God, the one that sows his wild oats and then comes crawling back. But God teaches us that like any good father who loves all of his children and wants only the best for his children, he rejoices when the one that was lost comes home. Home to be with him. Home to be again with the older brother. Home to be part of the family." So you see, we all have a little bit of the older brother and a little bit of the younger brother in us. But we just have to remember that God loves us. Faults, warts, and all. And he will open his arms and he will say, "Come to me. I love you, child. You're home." Amen and amen.